Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And before we get started, I want to say a big thanks to everyone who showed up on Saturday morning for the Garden Expo here in Madison. Bob Tomish and I were up in front of a large group, a really big group of people for a little presentation. We had a great time, and thanks to everybody who showed up. I posted a couple of photos on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So if you want to take a look, go right ahead. It was really a lot of fun. Had a chance to talk to lots of great gardeners. And then, as I said yesterday, for Valentine's Day, we were at a water park, and Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenald here to help me through my aches and pains.
done in by the water park.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been there, done that.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it is fun. But, you know, anytime you do a new activity, no matter what it is, you're going to feel it a little bit the next day, no matter how well-trained or conditioned you are.
Yeah, you're shooting down a slide at seemingly 100 miles an hour.
Right.
And.
Yeah.
Around a funnel, which we called the toilet bowl, and
Very dropping
on your back into the water in a sort of a back belly flop.
Yeah. Right. It's hard to train for such an event.
Yes, it is.
You know?
You don't want to train for back belly flops in
exactly, general. Exactly. There are some activities where you just jump in and just do
it. Just do it.
Exactly, it, right.
And suffer the consequences. It's not too bad. Some mild aches and pains, not bad. Noah from Green Bay, though, may have more to talk about than me here. So let's go to Noah. Hi, Noah. Thank you for calling.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
Well, we're waiting to hear what you have to say. What's up with you?
I woke up this morning, and I had really strange, unexplainable aches and pains in my arms, my bicep and tricep, and my back, around my shoulder blades, and I have no idea what on earth could be causing it. And I was just wondering if you could...
Okay, well, Lori, start with you.
What did you do yesterday, Noah?
I didn't do very much. I went out to dinner with my girlfriend. I even got a back rub now that I think about it.
And the day before, anything like shoveling snow? Did you have a fall on the ice where you might have landed on an arm? Or
no, I didn't. The only thing I can think back to is on Thursday I played tennis. And, I mean, it's not like it was the first time I played in a while either. I've been playing for like 4 or 5 weeks now.
Okay, yeah. So typically that wouldn't, if you've been doing that on a regular basis, that wouldn't cause those kind of symptoms. And if you have delayed onset muscle soreness from a new activity, it usually shows up 24 to 48 hours later.
Okay.
So do you have numbness and tingling or just?
It's just like when I move it or when I flex.
When you flex the biceps and triceps, both sides.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really unusual pain presentation pattern. You know, what I'd probably do is just watch it over the course of the day. It may be that, you know, the massage that you got, you know, hit some trigger points and you know, loosened up some stuff or... I don't know. I don't have any great ideas for that one.
Well, I agree with Lori. You know, if this has been around for a few weeks or a month and getting worse, probably more concerned. You know, there are some conditions that show up with muscle aches and pains that you do have to be a little more concerned about. But generally, people also, they feel run down. They have a low-grade fever. They have cold, clammy sweats. As long as you're not having any of those symptoms and you're not having the numbness or tingling.
I'm a little sick right now. I don't know. I've been sort of flu-like symptoms, but I wasn't sure if that could be associated.
Yeah, it can be.
That could definitely be.
Yeah. So, if that's the case, if it's the run-of-the-mill flu, I mean, you'll probably get worse for a few more days, and you start getting better. You know, and if it goes beyond a few days, then give your physician a phone call. But it could be related to that too.
Yeah. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Yep, that's the most likely scenario.
Yep. Carol in Madison, it's on to you now. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I have pain in my left knee. Went to the doctor, took an x-ray, and I was diagnosed with osteoarthritis. I'm not sure what to do. I've been taking six a day, 3 in the morning and 3 at night. And I just need advice as to how to proceed. I like to exercise, and this is kind of hindering my ability, and I would just like some advice at what you think about that.
What kind of exercise do you do?
Well, I was doing treadmill and pre-core and that type of thing at UW Sports Medicine.
Okay. And how long have you been having the knee symptoms?
Probably a couple of months. I noticed it flare up after I did an exercise in yoga where we were sitting on the floor, one leg out straight, bringing the heel and sole of the foot up inside that leg that's straight.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And after that was when I really started noticing it.
Okay. All right. Well, you should be able to continue exercising. You know, the arthritis didn't just show up that day you did the yoga stretch.
Right.
The arthritis was there prior to that, and that movement of your knee got it stirred up. So you have some inflammation and irritation, and when that gets calmed back down, you should be able to resume your previous exercises. The question is, what do you do in the meantime? Did your doctor refer you to physical therapy at all?
Yep. That's a possibility, and
okay.
She also said orthopedics if that doesn't work. So
okay. Yeah, I would start with your visit to the PT, and they should be able to modify your exercise program, the things that you're doing, modify position, modify your cardiovascular, give you some tips for minimizing the strain on your knee, as well as giving you some strengthening exercises to prevent a reoccurrence of this problem. Mm-hmm. But they should be able to guide you back into your exercise program.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you very much.
Margo in La Crosse, we're on to you now. Hi, Margo.
Hello. I got hit in the back of the right heel with a grocery cart at the end of November.
Ooh.
And had some initial swelling and obviously quite painful. I ended up going about a month ago to a podiatrist to have it looked at because I could not wear shoes with backs in them because of the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a thorough examination, obviously asked me a lot of questions and bent it and everything. He didn't feel a bump, so he didn't think there was any bone spur that had started. It is slowly getting better because it's almost 3 months now. And my question is that he told me to just massage it at the end of the day, and I have one spot on the, it's right off of to the right of the center of the heel, about halfway down the heel, that is extremely tender yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a very slow, if it's just a really bad bruise. I mean, should I be any more concerned about that?
Well, as long as you're continuing to get better, I'd say continue on that trajectory. For that mm-hmm. spot that's really tender, you know, I'd probably try doing some massage right over that, some crossways massage. There may be some scar there where the tendon attaches to the bone that's causing some ongoing irritation. So you could do some kind of deep massage right over that crossways and follow that up with an ice massage, like with an ice cup.
Okay.
And then are you doing some calf stretching?
Just real gentle ones he told me to do.
Okay. And what do you feel when you do that?
I don't feel anything at the moment afterwards about an hour or so. I feel a little achy there, but nothing like sharp shooting at anymore.
Okay. And how about strengthening? Are you doing any strengthening exercise for that?
Not specifically in that area, no.
Okay.
He didn't give me any additional instructions.
It might be time to start that as well, some eccentric strengthening, and that is going, say, for example, standing on the edge of a step, going up on both mm-hmm. toes, and then lifting the uninvolved foot and lowering yourself with just the involved one.
Okay.
And doing sets of, you know, 10 repetitions or so. You know, I start with a set of 10 and then see what happens later since you tend to get delayed symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And then increase that up to, if you can do 30 repetitions a couple times a day, then if that gets easy, then you speed that up. You increase the speed of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that might be additional things you can try.
All righty.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
And on to Gabriel in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about my left knee. In late December, I had a small tear in the meniscus from playing basketball. And I went to see my doctor. He looked at it and said it was a small tear and let it rest. And we'll see if it heals up. And I rested for about 2 to 3 weeks. and everything felt good. And I continued to play ball after that. And last week, I really tore it bad. I could really feel the pain in my knee, and the swelling started again. And I went in and had an MRI done. And they looked at it, and they said I have multiple tears. I have tears vertically and horizontally on the meniscus.
Oh.
And I was wondering, I'm 28, so I was wondering what is the future of my meniscus? Is it repairable, or what usually happens with these things?
Oh, what a good question. That's the kind of question I love to answer. Well, hopefully your surgeon or whoever did the MRI is going over that in detail with you. So a meniscus tear is not a meniscus tear. It's not a meniscus tear. It depends upon the size, the location, and the direction. So you have vertical and horizontal, which isn't as bad as a radial tear. And it depends upon where it is. If it's in a zone that has vascularity, the outside portion of your meniscus has a vascular supply. And depending upon the direction of the tear, it may heal. If it's towards the interior, there's no blood supply. And so those are usually resected or taken out if they're causing symptoms. And it sounds like you are not able to get back to your activity level, doing the things you want to do. So you're probably not someone who's going to sit and rest and not play basketball anymore. So if it was someone who was relatively sedentary, had a fall, tore their meniscus, they may leave it in to see if they can continue without symptoms, because it's best for the knee to leave the meniscus in. I'm guessing in your case, they're going to go in and they're going to clean it out. So what's the future? You're still young, so that's in your favor. The flip side of that is you have a lot of years to live in a knee with only part of your meniscus. So what that means is basketball's going to be harder on your knee. Any impact activity is going to be harder on your knee, so you need to factor that in. You need to keep your weight down. You need to keep your quadriceps strong. You need to keep your knee flexible. You need to watch your activity so that if you start to get symptoms there, that's a sign that your knee is telling you it's, you're putting more load on it that can tolerate.
Okay. And as far as in the future, after the surgery is scheduled for next week, and I haven't, I've only talked to my family doctor so far, so he could only give me so much information. But in the future, would wrapping it help, wrapping it tightly when I do activities, is that a good thing?
Well, it's not going to minimize the stresses on your knee because they're vertical loading stresses. So a wrap around your knee isn't going to do anything for forces that are up and down or vertical. That being said, there's some evidence that wrapping a joint provides some tactile or proprioceptive input that helps you know where your knee is in space. Yeah. So that helps some people, mostly people who have instability in their knee, probably not so much people who have meniscus tears. Mm-hmm. So I don't. It's probably, a horse apiece.
Okay.
So, but the big things are going to be getting your range of motion back, keeping your quadriceps strong, keeping your weight down, and wearing good supportive shoes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Good luck with the surgery. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Talking today with Lori Tyne Brody, Senior Physical Therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, Associate Professor in Physical Therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll take some more calls now as we talk about those aches and pains with Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault. Guy in Green Bay up next. Hello, Guy. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. Thank you very much. Hey, about 2 months ago, during one of our little ice storms there, I stepped down off a curb, hit a patch of ice, and I fell in such a way that most of me was in the parking lot, but my left arm was still up on the curb. Oh. And I dislocated that left shoulder. That left shoulder came out, stayed out for probably 15, 20 minutes, enough time for me to stand up and contemplate whether or not I was going to need to drive to the hospital. But as I kind of moved it around and flexed it around, it ground and popped itself back in.
Ouch.
And
you're making me cringe.
That was a good time. That was a lot of fun that night. Talked to my doctor just on the phone. She recommended that I just ice that down good. So, but for about the next 24 hours, I put a lot of ice on it. It got better, but it's not getting any better from that. 2 months later, I've still got quite a bit of soreness and tenderness in that shoulder. It's still bothering me a little bit. I have a full range of motion. I have good strength in the arm, but it's still getting awfully sore. And I've been avoiding going to the doctor because I'm self-employed, and I guess I'll leave the discussion for health care coverage to a different to a different show there, Larry. But I'm just kind of wondering if I can keep, you know, if it's going to get better, if I'm going to need to go, and if I do go, will just an X-ray tell us what we need to know about what's going on in there?
All right.
Such great questions. How old are you?
I am 41 years old, and I've never dislocated that shoulder or anything like that before.
Okay. Well,
I'm in good shape. You know, okay. I'm not terribly active, okay. but I'm in good shape. I'm not overweight, and I'm physically active.
Okay.
I have a job that keeps me busy.
Okay. Are you in a physically labor job?
No, not so much. Although I do a fair amount of physical activity and work around the home, that kind of
Okay. All right. Well, the chances of your dislocating your shoulder again are small. If you were younger in your teens, your odds of redislocating are pretty high. But at 41, if you're not in athletics or in a job where you're working overhead, you know, chances are you'll recover. An X-ray would show you evidence of what we call a Hill-Sachs lesion. Sometimes when the humeral head comes out, there's a small indentation on the backside of the head that you can see on an X-ray. All that basically does is tell you that the shoulder was dislocated. You already know that.
Yes, I do.
So the X-ray is really not going to tell you much that you don't already know. What you need is a good rehab program. You need to get on a good strengthening program to rehabilitate all the muscles around your shoulder, most notably your rotator cuff. So, you know, you could go to a PT for one visit, get some resistive bands, get a good exercise program, and you could probably do 90% of this on your own. But those tissues have to heal. If you're out for 15 minutes, you stretched a lot of stuff. You put the muscles under a lot of tension. There's just a lot of soft tissue that has to recover, and that's going to take time to recover. But you also want the muscles around the shoulder to be retrained so that they can stabilize and so you don't have rotator cuff problems down the road. So yeah, a good strengthening program focused on your rotator cuff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Here's an email from someone listening online in Colorado. My wife apparently has plantar fasciitis about 4 weeks, isn't getting better. She's icing it, wearing shoes around the house, and taking a leave. What generally causes this condition, and do you have any other recommendations? How long can she expect it to continue? I had this condition a few years ago, and it took a long time to resolve itself. That's from Jack.
Yeah, plantar fasciitis can take a very long time. So patience is the name of the game. You know, good supportive shoes is right on. One of the questions is why she got it in the first place. So she needs to think back to what she might have done in avoidance of any activities that aggravate it. Things that tend to aggravate it, stairs, ladders, things where the ball of your foot is on a surface, you know, spending time on your toes or walking on hard surfaces. So avoiding those things. The ice massage using an ice cup is a very good thing. Plantar fascia stretching, where you cross the involved laceature, right, when you cross that ankle over your other knee and then grab a hold of your toes and pull your toes up towards your shin to bring your ankle and toes up towards your knee to stretch that. That's a great plantar fascia stretch. You can also do that against the edge of a step and standing. A night splint is a very nice thing. We've had very good results with that. It takes 2 to 3 months of wearing it consistently, but it will help in the long run. But the big thing is, you know, you have that pain first thing in the morning because your toes have been pointed all night. So wearing the night splint helps hold your toes and ankles up in that that flex position to put them on a little bit of stretch, and that tends to help a lot.
Yeah. The good news is it's only been 4 weeks. I'm sure it's been a long 4 weeks, but you know, we've had lots of callers over the years that have been dealing with this for 6 months or 12 months, and then it really stretches out the recovery time.
Yeah.
So she's catching it relatively early, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Matt in Spooner has a question for you, too. Here, let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I've had a little bit of back pain. I'm about 40 years old. It goes back to my late teens, early 20s. It kind of started when I was in the military with just muscle spasms. At the time, they told me that I had an exaggerated arch and that I needed to do more abdominal exercises. But at that time, there was enough hours in the day to do more abdominal exercises.
Right.
But I'm a mason by trade, and over the years, I've been in pretty good shape. I've been laid up on the couch maybe twice in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Now, recently, it's a little more, it's with me all the time. It's basically uncomfortable. It's right above my buttocks. And I've found lately, a lot of times I bend over, or I do it on purpose to stretch, and it's like the whole spinal, excuse me, it's like it's compressed. I'm like pulling a piece of corrugated pipe apart.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
And I was wondering if, well, I don't do very many abdominal exercises anymore, if that would help.
Matt, that's a good question, and we'll come back to the exercises. Can I ask you, are you having any symptoms further down in your legs? Pain,
no,
numbness, or tingling?
I've always been very aware of that.
Okay, good. You know, at this stage, especially with your line of work, strengthening your abdominals, I mean, for most people, it would not be a bad thing. But what would be really important for you is good flexibility, especially through the hips. And the exaggerated arch, that exaggerated lordotic curve that is normal to a degree, that can become exaggerated if the abdominals get weak. But also, if certain muscles actually in the front of the hip are too tight, they will pull you in that direction.
And, backward?
They increase the arch. So the muscle tightness in the front of your hips can cause an increased arch, and that along with abdominal weakness can place a lot of load on that spine. Have you seen a physical therapist along the way?
No, with this? No. Like your previous caller, I'm self-employed.
Okay, yeah. All right. You know, this would be another situation like Lori described the last caller. Even if you could go in for one visit, maybe two visits, where they could examine you. And, you know, my guess is a little bit of abdominal strengthening, but flexibility around the hips would be really important for you. And also assessing strength in your legs. I mean, they could examine you kind of from head to toe for weakness and tightness. And it's probably a combination of both flexibility and strength that will help get this back under control for you, so you're not back on the sofa again. You know, if you go in and you tell them the kind of work you do and explain the insurance situation and what the purpose of your visit is to have a home program established, they should be able to do that in a visit or two.
All right.
Okay.
So give that a shot, Matt, and thank you very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate your call as well. Email from Debbie, who says, after an MRI, my doctor said I have a torn cartilage in my hip. I'm scheduled to see an orthopedic doctor later today. What can I expect in that visit?
Well, it depends a little bit about what Debbie's symptoms are and how long she's had them and what brought her to have the MRI in the first place. So my guess is that her hip has been bothering her for some time, and she may or may not have tried any conservative management, some hip exercises and PT and so on. They're getting much more aggressive in treating cartilage tears at the hip now since the advent and improvements in hip arthroscopy. So it's a little bit like torn cartilage in the knee, where they will often go in and remove that torn piece of cartilage. And then the rehabilitation after that is not unlike rehabilitation for a torn meniscus at the knee, where they focus on strengthening, especially strengthening around the hips, strengthening the core muscles, and so on. But I expect that our physician will review the MRI with her, tell her what her prognosis is, if treated or untreated, give her options for intervention. You know, sometimes they can do a trial with a with an injection to see if they might if their symptoms are relieved with that, and then they might be a good candidate for surgery and so on. But a good physician will go over the MRI and explain the options for treatment, including not treating it.
All right. Sherry in Wales, on to you. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning. I had a not-so-excellent adventure with my young German Shepherd on Christmas Eve, where he dislocated my left knee, and it did reduce itself quite quickly, and my husband was able to help me in the house, and I saw an orthopedic doctor, and they did an X-ray which showed a small bone chip. And they didn't do an MRI. I am in physical therapy, which is progressing, not as fast as I would like. But I'm wondering, they told me this bone chip would heal, and I'm wondering how that works, if it's kind of floating out there, how that reattaches itself.
I'm presuming when you say dislocated your knee, that was your kneecap?
Yes, and the patella, yes.
And the bone fragments off of your patella?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Well, usually, even if you look on the X-ray and it looks like the bone fragment is kind of floating out there, a lot of times there's still articular cartilage around that that helps maintain some congruity or continuity between that, and it will heal. If it doesn't heal, you know, for some people that little fragment is symptomatic, and other people it's not symptomatic. So because the patella isn't a weight-bearing joint, you don't put your body weight on it, you tend to be able to get away with small abnormalities more so than you would at another joint. So I presume they'll keep an eye on it. You know, that for you, the biggest challenges are probably the undersurface of your kneecap. When your kneecap went out, you probably scuffed up your articular cartilage on the undersurface of your kneecap, and that tenderness under there is probably the biggest limiting factor for you in your progress at this point, not so much the fracture.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. Todd and Stevens Point, on to you now. Hi, Todd.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I'm in my late 40s, and I'm going to be running a marathon with my son. I haven't run one in a few years, and I want to show the young pup I can still do it. But the problem, or the question I have is, I've had, you know, the normal joint pain from tendons and some joints. I've had medial meniscus surgery several years ago. But I have been reading that fish oil / omega-3 is helpful for inflammation treatment. Is that is there any veracity to that?
Oh, absolutely. That's been well studied throughout the body, not just for your joints, but overall body inflammation in terms of your arteries and your body as a whole. So joints, arteries, the increasing your omega-3s, fish oils, watching the balance of omega-3s to omega-6s. We tend to take in too many omega-6s, not enough omega-3. So absolutely, those are great choices.
Where would one get omega-6s?
Omega-6s are in a lot of processed food.
I see.
So okay. The fish oils, the supplements, like the Core Omega supplements, are a really easy way to get a fish oil supplement that's relatively good tasting. I know those who would probably argue. But those supplements are pretty readily available these days for people who have difficulty eating cod or salmon or some of those other cold water fish.
Mm-hmm. What would be a preventive tactic for things like plantar fascia or fasciitis and Achilles inflammation?
Good flexibility, maintaining good flexibility, watching the dosage of your exercise as you ramp up for your marathon, not increasing too quickly, especially if you're including hills, having several pair of shoes that you change out instead of having one pair that you wear until they're worn out, and then another pair. I'd have a couple pair and alternate them. And just mostly watching your dosage and how you increase your training.
Yeah. Todd, when is the marathon?
I'm running the Twin Cities in early October.
Okay.
Okay, good.
So
you've got some time. And also mixing a little bit of cross training. Mm-hmm. You're doing some aerobic work that's not running in nature, just to give those tendons and joints a little bit of a rest every now and then. You can get a lot of mileage out of that, too.
good advice. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for calling. And we have Chris, who says, I injured my MCL in a skiing accident a couple weeks ago. Saw an internship in the free clinic. He said, I injured my MCL and it would heal itself. X-rays were negative for any fractures. Saw an orthopedic MD friend when I returned to Wisconsin. He confirmed the diagnosis, said to continue wearing a brace, and I would feel better in about 5 weeks. My question is there anything I can do to speed up that process? I'm 31 and I used to be, you know, I'm active. I start a busy internship in 2 weeks, have been elevating as much as possible and taking anti-inflammatory meds. What would torn meniscus feel like?
Well, a torn meniscus will be a deeper, achier kind of feeling with weight bearing. The MCL tends to hurt most near full extension, when the knee is almost fully extended, because that's when it's most taut. The MCL is a sly thing because you don't really know how well it's healed until you go out and you try it, and then
you squee again, and then
it's all over. What I've seen from clinical experience, and this is purely anecdotal, is, you know, you give them a time frame of healing, you palpate, you poke around, it's not tender, you do the ligament stress test, it looks pretty snug, and they go out and load it, and it gives again. Because I think our clinical tests aren't sensitive enough to the amount of load that's placed on it with things like skiing. I'd say that 5 weeks, depending upon if it was a first degree or second degree, injury is an optimistic return to activity. In the meantime, you can't speed the healing, but what you can do is help the ligament heal, and that is by very gentle loading. That is strengthening exercises, first in a sagittal plane, forward and back, then start some very gentle side-to-side movements that are resisted. And it's best if these are supervised because of the challenges in rehabbing this ligament. But then you want to progress to strengthening exercises in a side-to-side motion and finally in a twisting motion and things that replicate skiing. But I'd be concerned if Chris decided to go back to skiing at 5 weeks, that the first time they try to cut, the knee's going to give. It's got to be trained up for that kind of an activity.
So it might be out of the Wisconsin skiing season before.
Yeah.
To be safe. Safe, insure, and prevent a bigger, more extensive
exactly. That's the first thing that just came to my mind, because what's going to go after the MCL is the ACL.
Right.
All right. Susan in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Susan.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have kind of an intense pain on the right side, lower back, right above the buttock, kind of similar to what the gentleman a few callers ago described.
Okay.
There is occasional pain shooting down my leg. It seems to come and go. It's more intense when I'm walking, when I'm standing. When I sit down, it is a little more relieved. And it started over the weekend. As the day wears on, it becomes more and more intense. Saturday, it was pretty intense. Saturday evening, where I couldn't walk anymore, and then Sunday morning it was pretty good until later on in the day, and then the intensity started to build again, and then again today on Monday it's, you know, starting up again, and I have no idea what this is. Stretching doesn't really seem to help. I am taking Tylenol. That really doesn't seem to be doing anything. So do you have any information that would help me with this? I would appreciate it.
You bet. Susan, any numbness or tingling with this? Going down into the leg in particular, have you noticed?
No, but more of a pain, more of a kind of like a shooting type pain.
Right, okay. Okay, have you had back problems in the past?
Oh, yes, I have. I've had, but it was typically my left hip, which I have hip dysplasia that, you know, I have dealt with for a long time, it's always been the left side.
Okay. All right. Well, the fact it's been a few days still bodes well for you, although the further down the leg the pain goes typically means the more irritated structures are and the longer the recovery takes, as opposed to if it's low back pain only.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you spend on your feet during the day in terms of daily activities?
Yeah, I spend quite a bit of time on my feet during the day.
Okay. All right. Well, a combination of gentle stretching, but stretching, if possible, when you're lying down as opposed to standing or sitting. So mm-hmm. your spine is unloaded, gently pulling your knees up towards your chest. Have your hips and knees bent and just gently rock your knees from side to side. Spend a little time on your stomach propped up on your elbows.
Okay.
Also on your hands and knees. And just rocking your hips back towards your heels in different mm-hmm. angles is a real safe and gentle way to stretch the back. I would probably use ice because of the pain that's sharp. And you don't want to be on bed rest, but I would, you know, the more chances you get to sit as opposed to standing, I would try to fit more of that into your day.
Okay.
You know, and if another week goes by and you're not getting better or it's getting worse or you're noticing some tingling or numbness, that's when I would go in and be seen. And a physical therapist should be able to help you with exercise designed to get the pain out of the leg and keep it out of the leg mm-hmm. and then on the full recovery and then hopefully help prevent this from coming back again.
Okay. Is there any chance it could be a pinched nerve?
Well, it's possible. You know, the shooting pain into the leg, that could be nerve-related. Sometimes
because it is a level of intensity that I'm really not accustomed to.
Yeah, it sounds different from what you described you've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so a pinched nerve is possible. You know, again, I'd be more concerned if you had weakness, numbness, or tingling about how irritated the nerve is.
Mm-hmm.
Pain certainly isn't any fun. But if you had the other complaints as well, then I would encourage you to go in and be seen sooner. But again, it just means that it may take a little longer for you to recover back to your baseline.
Okay.
But you know, if you're not a third better by the end of this week, that's when I would go in and be seen, and then they can examine you and set you up with a good home program.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guests today, as we talk dealing with those aches and pains and sprains and strains. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll join in our conversation as well. I don't hope you have an ache, a pain, or a strain, but if you do, join us at 800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Let's turn to Chris in Madison next. Chris, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I've been having right knee pain since about Labor Day week, and what had happened was I was petting a dog, and I was kind of stiff-legged and bent over, and the other dog was a bull mastiff, and he wanted some attention, and he kind of in the knee. And the pain's pretty much gotten a little better. I've had an x-ray done, no structural damage. I recently had an MRI. And it just showed maybe some swelling in the soft tissue around the area. I do have a history of arthritis in that knee because of multiple injuries in my youth. And then I was just wondering if there's anything else I could do.
So where does your knee hurt?
Basically, from about the middle of the calf over to the outside of the knee, the lateral side of the knee.
Okay, and is that where you got hit? You got hit on the outside?
I kind of got hit straight on, you know, into the knee.
Oh.
Okay, from the front.
Yeah.
And hyperextended your knee.
Yeah.
Okay. And does the knee feel stable? Does it feel unstable?
It's stable. The only time I really get any pain is if I walk up a steep incline or some stairs.
A steep incline or stairs. Okay. You know, it almost sounds muscular since they've checked the joint. You've had a radiograph, you've had an MRI, and they're not seeing any structural damage, and it bothers you going upstairs. That's a muscular activity. And the location of your pain is it's not consistent with a joint problem. So it may be that a soft tissue contusion and your muscles need some rehab. So one way to go, if you haven't tried it, is to do a strengthening program for your calf muscles,
yeah.
For your quads, for the core muscles around your hip,
yeah.
and see if you can get any traction with that.
Okay.
Have you tried any rehabilitation?
No, I've been kind of doing it on my own. I was a medic in the Air Force and worked in geriatrics and that, so I kind of know what to do.
Okay.
But I also get a every once in a while I'll feel a pop, or it feels like if you were to take a rubber band and wrap it, wrap around the knee and then try to pull it up over the kneecap, it kind of feels like that.
Well, you know, you also have some plica around your knee. There's remnants from before you were born of a thick band of connective tissue. And probably a third of the people still have those in their knee, and they're not symptomatic for most people until they schwack them, for lack of a better term. So, you know, it may be that if that dog hits you right on, I mean, that would be consistent with that symptom of that tight band. So maybe some ice massage around, around where you got hit, but trying a general flexibility, stretching the quad, stretching the hamstring, stretching the outside of the hip and the piriformis, and then strengthening for the quads, the calf muscles on the front and on the backside, and see if you can get any traction with that. Yeah. If not, you know, go in and see a physical therapist for a visit or two and have them do a good detailed exam and see if they can isolate the cause of the problem.
Chris, another thing maybe to, along with the exercise, is if you can do some deep massage
you know,
in that area using, you know, a knuckle or your fist.
Yeah, I do that,
Okay, and, you know, you work in the area immediately where the symptoms are, but also work above and below.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are knots that are indirectly putting more tension on that area.
Yeah.
And then follow up with some from stretching.
Okay.
Yeah, that may help a little bit.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Jim in Madison emailed, my relative suffered a minor stroke with some paralysis in the left arm. However, her prognosis is for complete recovery. This is my question. In general terms, would it be helpful for her to spend time in the swimming pool in an attempt to build up sensation and strength in her ailing arm?
Boy, that's a good question. I'd say yes. I expect that she is getting some physical therapy at this point to help her with her recovery. And if they have the means and access to get into a pool, I think that immersion in that, you know, medium where you have all that tactile sensation on your skin as well as the resistance to movement provides valuable proprioceptive feedback.
All right. On to Andrew in Milwaukee. Andrew, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm 58 years old, and what I'm finding, I have forearm pain. The best way to describe it simply is to say if I take a cup of coffee and I grip it and lift it to my mouth, I feel the pain in my forearm from about the middle towards the elbow on the outside. And I'm not sure if I aggravated it simply because I like to cross-country ski, and maybe I'm gripping the poles too hard as I'm pushing and shoving. I also have a ski machine, which between the two of them may have aggravated this, but I don't know. But I went today, and it does not bother me when I ski. But I wanted to know, would ice or heat be good for this? Would there any type of exercise be good for this? And any of the over-the-counter, like elbow supports, are they of any help in this condition?
So it doesn't bother you while you're skiing, but then afterwards when you go to grip something?
It's when I grip something and lift, like the best example is the coffee, lift it up towards my mouth.
Mm-hmm. And is that sort of constant, or is it only on days when you've skied or you ski every day?
Oh, at rest, there's no problem. I just notice, like at breakfast, you're drinking your coffee.
Okay.
And it's still there. It kind of wanes and goes.
Okay.
Probably pain level about 3 at the most.
Okay. And shaking hands, opening doors, those things are generally...
A little bit, too.
Okay, all right.
Anytime you grab something
and
pull on those muscles.
Okay.
I'm not sure, is there such a thing as a shin splint tear on your forearm muscle?
A shin splint of the forearm? I like that.
There is now.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's probably a tennis elbow, a lateral epicondylitis. There are some other things that can go wrong in that part of the elbow. That hurt down into a little bit into the forearm. But when it's so closely tied with physical activity, with, you know, the actual gripping of your wrist and finger muscles, we tend to think lateral epicondylitis or tennis elbow. So what we usually do for that are stretching exercises at the wrist. So if you would place your arm out in front of you with your palm up and then take a hold of your fingers and wrist and pull them down towards the floor with your palm up, we do that kind of stretching. We do strengthening exercises for grip, so it's probably the repetitive gripping of your poles that's aggravating it. The splints that we use, you can use a tennis elbow strap. What that does is effectively creates a new origin for the muscles. The muscles that are involved are actually your wrist and finger extensors, but they also work anytime you grip because they have to work to counterbalance the gripping muscles, the flexors. So when we use a splint, we actually use a wrist splint because the muscles that are involved are actually acting at the wrist. So we usually use a forearm or a wrist splint, usually that has a hole for your thumb and then it stabilizes your wrist. You might try something like that when you're skiing and see if that helps. And then ice would be useful.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. And we'll turn to Joan in Dundee, Wisconsin. Hi, Joan.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'll be 52 in May, and I have arthritis in my knees. They're bone on bone. And my knee doctor wants to replace them, but I'm overweight. And I just think that it'd be better for me to lose the weight and then have the surgery, possibly. And I'm inactive. So I'm in that vicious circle of, you know, it hurts to mm-hmm. move, but you're supposed to move. And,
right.
You know, I need to know what to do to get moving.
Well, a couple things come to mind. First is the pool. If you have access to a pool, you don't have to have a health club, but many times there are local hotels that will let you access their pool.
Right.
Getting in and doing a walking program, walk and walk and walk and walk and walk as briskly as you can. So that's one way. An exercise bike is often good for people who have arthritis in their knees. They can tolerate that.
Yeah. Okay. And then I got another question about I'm starting to have pain on the top of my feet. Like if I'm, you know, if I do walk and walk and walk and walk, the next day, like today, the top of my feet are killing me. You know, it's like I have to put on my shoes to keep moving, but it hurts a lot. What is that?
has anyone examined your feet?
No.
Okay, and then does it go away after a time, or what happens to it?
Well, yeah, like, you know, so I'm busy on the weekend. I'm on my feet all weekend long, so today's a bad day. So then if I just kind of take it easy and relax, I'd say by Wednesday it eases off.
Mm-hmm. And it's on the top of your foot.
Yeah, and you know, it's sore.
Yeah, well, you could have some arthritis in your feet as well. So if you have bone on bone in your knees, then it's possible you also have arthritis in your feet, and it may be that all that time on your feet is stirring up some arthritis there too. So all the more reason for you to get the weight off.
Yeah.
Again, a pool would be good because it would minimize the weight on your feet. If you are comfortable in the water, there's deep water exercise you can do that has good cardiovascular benefits and you're not weight-bearing at all on your knees or feet. Again, a bicycle would probably be good because you're not weight-bearing on your feet or knees during those activities.
Yeah. Okay, and then as far as, you know, getting the knee replacement, I would like to wait till I'm 62 versus 52, but
that's a noble goal, and I would support you in doing that if you can do it.
Yeah. Okay, right. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
All right,
much
good
for
luck.
Calling. Lisa's listening to the program, emailed in from St. Germain, and suggests that those with back issues who can't afford to go to doctors, or even those who can, enroll in and participate in group exercise programs that train for core strength. I'm a group exercise instructor for our local YMCA and can't stress enough the importance of this. All YMCAs and most health clubs offer classes in this area, personal trainers as well. What do you think, Bill?
Well, there's certainly a place for group activity, and especially if there's an instructor who's well-trained who can modify certain positions or exercises for their clients. People who have existing back problems, some movements may be very easy and comfortable, and other directions are painful, and that can vary from one person to the next. And so having a good instructor that can modify things for you. And again, with any of these programs, some muscle soreness is reasonable, some stiffness is reasonable when you first start. but any discomfort that's sharp, shooting in nature, that's not what you want to work through. Okay. For the patients that I see, the group activity usually comes toward the end of the rehab process. We work on specific strengthening and flexibility issues and patient education early on. And then a group program is a good adjunct to kind of complete the rehab process and help keep it from coming back again. So there are lots of pluses, but there are people out there who aren't ready for a group activity yet because of movement limitations or the degree of weakness that is difficult to address in a group setting.
Maybe as a preventive.
Absolutely.
It's great as a preventive. And like Bill said, what we like to do is see those clients. We kind of get them, what I consider, up out of the hole. We get them up to a level where they can function. And they have a good understanding of their back problem, of their signs and symptoms, how to maintain it. But very importantly is exercise dosage. Many times people think, well, I've got this back pain. I'm going to go, to the club and do this or that. And they don't have an understanding of how to dose their exercise for their specific problem. So a lot of the physical therapy is education as we go along. And patient understanding their specific problem, understanding the anatomy, the biomechanics of the spine, so that they can then go into a group class and be able to dose the exercise appropriately themselves.
Yeah, that's key. When you go in cold to a class for the first time, it's kind of one dosing for everybody.
Yeah.
Although usually instructors will tell you, if you need to rest, take a rest and stop when you need to. But it's like we tell lots of callers, you want to transition into the activity. So if you go the first time, even following through with the first half or two-thirds of the class, or taking rests.
And that's good advice, I think. Thank you both. Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guests here. They'll be with us up until 12:30 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with how to deal with those aches and pains today with two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. And during our news break, I snapped a picture of them on my iPhone and uploaded it to my Facebook page. So if you want to go to Facebook, The Larry Mueller Show. And join in as a friend if you want, and you can see Lori and Bill.
Yeah, sorry we didn't have time to do our hair or anything. that was one of the great things about the show is the anonymity and no one having to see us.
Right.
There you go. But you look nice, Billy's got on his tie and everything today. Me, I just came out of the pool. I got wet hair and everything else. So, and my swimsuit. But it's just from the neck up.
Let's go to Mike in Genoa City. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I've recently had issues with what fellow runners have told me is Achilles tendonitis, so I'm not sure about the diagnosis, but what will happen is I'm running along. I've been a runner for 40 years. I'm 55 years old now. And I'll be running along, doing just fine, at a good pace, 2 or 3 miles into the run, bam, an acute pain at the base of my calf will come up and basically kind of lays me up for a week to 2 weeks before that goes away and I can start again.
Oh. How long has it been going on?
It's really only recently. I'd say about a year and a half or so.
Oh. I'm sorry, recent is like 2 weeks, a year and a half.
Yeah, I've been dealing with it, you know.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So you've been doing this on again, off again for a year and a half?
Yeah.
All right. And you're just calling now. Okay. Well, the longer it's been going on, the harder it gets to treat. So that's one of the reasons why the duration is important. But, it probably is an Achilles tendinopathy, we say, not tendonitis, because often in this age group, there's not a lot of active inflammation, but it's degeneration of the tendon, just like you have degeneration of your joints. So there is treatment for it, and that is a fairly vigorous eccentric strengthening program. Now, one of the things is it's hard to implement this program when you're doing the yo-yo with the running thing. So, you know, at some point you have to have some stability there. So I don't know if you can run at a level where you're not going to flare it and have to take off for 2 weeks, or if you're going to rest a little bit from running and do some water running or bicycling or something else instead. But basically what you do is you do this eccentric strengthening program. You can start off with a toe raise over the edge of a step where you go up on both feet and then lower yourself just on the involved side. And you basically do it to fatigue at a slow, controlled pace. And you can do a couple sets of 30 a day for 3 days in a row without an increase in your symptoms. You increase the speed to a moderate speed and then to a fast speed. When you can do that, then we add weights to your shoulders via a backpack or something else. And it takes some diligence and some stick-to-itiveness, but this will often help relieve this. And it takes some time because the healing in a tendon is very slow. There's a very poor blood supply. But there's good evidence that this is a helpful kind of program. If you have insurance, it's helpful to be guided through this process by a physical therapist who can help walk you through it and help you with the dosage. And if you know, things never are implemented as smoothly as they sound on the radio. And then you'll have someone to go to as you run into bumps along the road.
Okay. I'll give it a try on my own first.
I mean, after a year and a half, it's not going away. So,
no.
So this is the time. This is the time to do it, and before you really get into the heavy running in the summer, it's a good time to get it handled.
Okay. Good luck. Thank you, Mike, for calling. Appreciate it. Carol in Cedarburg, on to you now. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I just wanted to say right away that physical therapists are really so high on my list of wonderful people. And they have helped me a lot over the course of the past 10 years with a couple of surgeries I had. But I just wanted to say, as a librarian, that a book that helped me learn about my own back, and I have a sciatica that goes down my leg, or at least I used to.
Yeah.
I had a herniated disc, and I've had physical therapy. The book that helped me, I was thinking of the lady who called in and had the pain that goes down her leg. There's a book called How to Treat Your Own Back by McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And it has one of the things it has is when you can't walk and the pain is so bad, and it shows, of course, you know, you have to know your body and you have to go to your doctor and different things work for different people. But this book helped me to learn a lot about the anatomy of my back. And I just felt it's the pain of that lady who called in, because I've had that pain.
Yeah. Sure.
Nerve pain is no fun.
You guys familiar with that book?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Robin McKenzie's a physical therapist from New Zealand, and he has a book related to low back, how to treat your neck pain. And Carol's right. There's a number of chapters that describe day-to-day activities from sitting posture, sleeping positions, how to bend, how to lift, how to protect your back. There is a good chapter on the anatomy related to the spine and the nerves. And I've mentioned over the years about an exercise program that's designed to get pain up out of the leg. A lot of that is based on the McKenzie principles. And so he describes a series of exercises. He also has a section called the panic page, when your back goes out on you, you know, what to do and try, and some of the warning signs. And it's a very good self-help book. And but again, getting the pain out of the leg has to happen before the back pain goes away. And he talks about that process and provides the anatomy behind it. So, Carol, thank you. It's a good suggestion.
All right.
And thank you for having this program. This is wonderful for people.
All right. Thanks, Carol. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. All right. We'll take some more calls. On to Sue and Rhinelander. Hi, Sue.
Hello there.
Thank you for calling.
Great program and guests.
Thank you.
All right. Just before, you had a gentleman, I believe, from Genoa City, my old hometown. That is ironic,
mm-hmm.
I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem goes back more than a year and a half.
Oh.
Okay. 4 years ago plus, I was having trouble with a knee and was told surgery. But I decided to have a second opinion, and it was arthritis. And so I was sent to therapy, and I did my therapy, but they also gave me one of those bands, a resistant band.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I did my therapy, even water therapy, but ever since then, I have developed, when I overuse my right arm, and I told the therapist, if I'm mixing a heavy batter, if I'm digging in my garden, or today, shoveling 4 inches of snow, it will come back. It's not constant. It swells, and it gets very tender on the inside just below my elbow. And I just wonder what you think. I know I heard you say about tendons are slow to mend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, they are. And, you know, the area that you talk about, Sue, this is what we call golfer's elbow. Tennis elbow is more the outside of the elbow, and golfer's elbow is on the inside of the elbow. And a lot of people who don't golf get pain in that area. And the activities you described, you're using muscles a lot that attach to the inside of the elbow, you know, the lifting and the mixing of things that you described.
Yeah.
But a similar principle to gently stretch that area, in a very similar stretch to what Laurie described before, where you put that arm straight out in front of you and palm up toward the ceiling and gently stretch your fingers and palm down toward the floor. The band that Laurie described with tennis elbow, it works on the same principle for the condition you have as well.
No, I wore one of those this morning.
Okay, all right. They tend not to cure anything, but it's similar to somebody who has a sprained ankle, and we give them a crutch to use for a while. It just kind of protects the area and maybe allows things to heal a little bit faster. So continue to use that for activities that you know would stir this up. You can certainly ice the area,
right,
and then slowly, gradually strengthen that area. You know, if you have a small hand weight, or you
I
know,
do.
And then, you know, but I would probably avoid using the band, the TheraBand that you
I
described.
I quit using
before.
That. I even mentioned it to my therapist, and she said, "No, don't use it anymore." I was using it on my leg, you know, for my knee.
Right. So I would put that off. Don't throw it away, but put it off to the side. And you can also do a little massage through that forearm. Again, sometimes the scar tissue can form or
right.
some knots can form in the muscles. You can kind of massage that area using your knuckle or the heel of your hand along with the stretching and the strengthening.
But I do have very light weights. I do a lot of walking.
Okay.
And when I overuse that with walking and moving my arm, that seems to increase it more.
Right.
Pain.
Right, and that's usually happens. That's kind of what we call the dosing of the activity. It's just when you're the area's being overloaded, and then the tissue starts letting you know it's not very happy. So that's why continuing the strengthening will help build up endurance and strengthen the area. So you should tolerate more and more activity over time with less pain.
Well, at 72, it could still heal after this many years.
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
Sure. Why
yes,
not?
It may take a little bit longer, but absolutely, the things you're doing can help.
Thank you so much for your program, and
good
thank
luck.
You.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great, thank you for calling.
A week ago on Sunday, I was skiing and got myself into a position I shouldn't have, and I had felt a pop in my upper left calf. Had a Super Bowl party to go to, stopped skiing, but bypassed the doctor at that point in time. Woke up the next morning and had a lot of swelling. And the reason I didn't go right away to the doctor was because I didn't feel that it was a knee. I went to the doctor, and this was in the location I was at. They said that I had torn my gastric nimbus, I hope that's right, and soleus muscles in my calf. Reason for my phone call is that I've done a lot of icing, a lot of Advil, and really tried to baby it because I've had some other issues in the past that I know icing does a lot for me. But as of about Thursday, I started seeing a lot of bruising, black and blue, in my heel area, and I'm still getting an awful lot of swelling. And I'm wondering if this is normal. I guess I was expecting that it would improve before now.
Well, it's only been a week, so a muscle tear is going to take a while. What I expect is that you did have a fairly significant tear, And what happened is it took a while for the bleeding and the bruising to work its way down via gravity into your ankle. So the tear happened up in your calf, and it bled and so on. And the muscles in your calves are enclosed in fairly tight compartments and sheaths, so it took a while for that blood to work its way down into your calf. And that's just evidence of the tear that you had farther up in your calf. I would expect this to take some time to heal. And if you're up and active and you're walking around a lot on it, it is going to swell. And particularly your calf muscles, because they are so tightly enclosed in these sheaths, so they tend to hold the fluid a little bit more. I almost think of it, this isn't exactly right, but more like a water balloon where water gets in there and it's a little harder for it to escape. Again, that's evidenced by how long it took the bleeding to show up in your ankle. So
that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah. So it's going to take some time. So I would, you know, try to elevate it as much as you can, continue with the icing on a regular basis. I get in to see somebody about a rehabilitation program, because you're going to need to rehabilitate those muscles that have been torn. You want to prevent a lot of scar tissue adhesions. And again, anytime you have a soft tissue like a muscle where you have a lot of blood and fluid sitting there, that's just a ripe environment for building a lot of scar. So you want that muscle to heal without being bound down by a lot of scar. You want it to have an optimal environment for healing. Again, if there's a lot of pressure in there, then it's hard to get new blood supply in to carry out the waste products and to bring in a fresh blood supply to facilitate healing. So if you want an optimal healing process, you should get in and have someone help guide you through that.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Bill emailed us and says, my wife had her total right knee replaced in mid-October, still has significant edema or swelling and discomfort, and her physical therapy people suggested using an MP, it's like a TENS device, to help reduce the swelling. Is this type of device able to help with edema or swelling?
Well, it can. Using electrical stimulation can augment exercise and wrapping and elevating to help get fluid out of an area, something you can have on for a few hours at a time. Oh. So, you know, along with the other aspects of the rehab program, it can be a good adjunct. And this far out from the surgery, with there's still significant edema, she's got to get rid of that in order for the muscles to function normally and to get the range of motion back that she needs.
Okay. Dean in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Dean.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I rolled my car on its side about 7 weeks ago, and I've been having neck and back pain. No bruising in that area. I was not wearing my seatbelt, so that's not a good thing. But I flopped around the car, and I am still having neck pain where it shoots up into my head from upper neck and the back, and about halfway up my back on the right side. And now this last weekend, I'm having numbness in my fingers on my right hand. Just wondering whether I should be seeing a doctor or go to a chiropractor or physical therapist or what.
Yeah, Dean, I would go to see a physician if you have a family practice physician or if you've seen an orthopedist. With the kind of trauma that you had, again, without the seatbelt and the sharp pain, upper neck up into the head, and the numbness in the hand, all of that means you should see a medical doctor. And have them examine you. They'll probably do some imaging, which I think would also be warranted. You don't want anybody cranking around in your neck until you've had that kind of testing done.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. Jane in Madison emailed, my 21-year-old daughter gets knots in her back. A college student and athlete in soccer. She has access to the trainer and has had massages. But what causes the knots, and what's the best way to prevent knots?
Well, everybody, we can all relate to that.
Yes.
We all have knots somewhere.
I thought that was a good question from any of us.
You bet. You bet. You know, typically it's when muscles get overworked or overloaded, whether it's a one-time activity, you know, the first time doing some activity, or just the repetitive overuse. And in athletes, oftentimes it's related to the repetitive nature of the training and the activity and postural issues. So what's kind of the best way to avoid them and minimize them is being on a good flexibility and strengthening program, in a program that is designed for your particular sport and activity, and form. You know, quality of movement and form can also help minimize the overuse stressing of the muscle groups. But in stretching before an activity and then again after the activity can also help minimize those. A good way to self-massage is using a tennis ball. I have a lot of people who I have them lie on their back, put the tennis ball underneath them. I don't want the tennis ball right under the spine, you know, on the bumps of the spine, but off to either side. And you'll find you can dictate how much pressure you put on the ball by shifting weight over on top of it. And when you're on a spot, a knot usually kind of hurts good, and then you can just kind of gently roll there for, you know, 20, 30 seconds and then move the ball and then do some gentle stretching afterward.
All right. There you have it. Let's turn to Tammy in Glidden. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, thank you. It's great to finally get through. I got two problems. Back in 86 in the Army, my right arm doing push-ups, I totally popped out and turned over. And they finally popped it back in. And then a little while ago, well, it happens a lot now. You know, if you're just like trying to wipe your forearm, your forehead, it twists out.
No.
And it's excruciating pain.
Oh,
and it's hard to find somebody to turn it backwards because they look at me like I'm like freaked, you know. And now my left arm's doing it. And I'm scared to do a lot of stuff because I can feel just when it's about to pop out.
Okay.
And it's been going on for years, and now my left arm is doing it. You know, those dowels with the rubber bands for the arms? That's how my arms are now.
Okay. Have you seen anybody for this problem?
Nobody will see me because it was a military incident, and they're not going to cover it because it was not during wartime.
Wow.
So I'm just like, and then I got one other problem.
Okay.
On my right arm, the shoulder blade. Okay, I just listened about the knots. I did the... because I get a knot right in the shoulder blade to where I can't move my neck, I can't move my arm, and I get the numbness, you know, like when my arms go out of, literally out of joint where it's longer and twisted backwards. And so I lean up like on wood or something to get something in between. And I mean, it only happens like once in a great while, and I wake up with it.
Yeah. Well, the trick that Bill just talked about with the tennis balls can help with the knot. Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing the knots are coming in your shoulder blade because your shoulder blade muscles are working so hard to keep your shoulder in joint. So the primary problem is your shoulders coming out of joint. And that needs to be dealt with a rehab program. Typically, that kind of instability, especially if I mean, your right one had a traumatic event, but your left one did not. So my guess is that you have some underlying joint instability, probably a multidirectional instability, and the right one happened to have an acute event. So that's typically treated with rehabilitation, not with surgery. So it would be useful to get into the medical system, see a physical therapist who can set you up on a rehabilitation program focused on this kind of instability. And it is treatable with rehab. If rehab fails, there is a surgical procedure that they sometimes do to stabilize the shoulder.
Okay, because like my right shoulder, you can see it's more forward than my left.
Right, right. It sounds like you're heading the wrong direction. You know, your instability is worsening. You're getting additional symptoms from muscles around your shoulder blade, and those muscles go up into your neck. You can see how secondary problems begin to develop because of the primary untreated problem at your shoulder. So I think if you get that handled, some of the secondary stuff will take care of itself.
Well, why would my left arm start doing it now?
Well, my guess is that you have underlying instability in your joints in both arms. And it's just manifesting now on the left. Maybe you're using your left more because your right gives you so many problems.
Yeah, I'm scared to do a lot.
Exactly.
Because I got little kids, and I'm scared to do a lot because I'm scared it's going to pop out and I might drop them or something.
And that is a very legitimate concern. And again, reason why you should seek some intervention for this.
Yeah, you need to do that.
It's heading the wrong direction.
And thank you for calling Tammy, and good luck. Get some help there. And thank you, Bill, and thank you, Lori.
It's been fun.
Pleasure as always.
It's been great. You're coming back on March 15th, I have in my calendar.
Indeed, that's what they tell us.
Okay, so we'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you
very
so much.
Thanks.
And again, if you want to see a picture of these two, they're on my Facebook page, The Larry Mehler Show. Go online to Facebook and take a look. We also have some pictures, a couple of photos up from the Garden Expo this last weekend, which was a lot of fun. So, The Larry Mehler Show on Facebook. And tomorrow, we'll take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk and animal physical therapist Courtney Arnaldi. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.